As we remain standing, let us pray. Blessed are you, Creator God, to you be glory and praise forever. Your Spirit moved over the face of the earth to bring light and life to your creation. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us this day, that we may walk as children of the light, and by your grace reveal your presence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. When I was a young, pregnant mother many, 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 many years ago, I remember promising never to say no to my children. It was a promise made in haste and naivete, without any idea that being a parent would be having to say no. Has anyone ever said no to their children? Who's still saying no to their children? I guess that's it. I didn't know then, on some level, that love and loving does not mean always saying yes. And it was a promise that I was unable to keep, and one that I broke many times as my children were growing. Can you recall a promise that you made that you were unable to keep? Can you remember a promise that you made when you were under stress or unbearable pressure? Did you live to regret that promise? Was it possible to keep the promise? In the spiritual world, a promise is known as a covenant, a binding pact between God and his people. The covenant or promise is initiated by God as written in the very first chapter of Genesis, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." It began with Abraham and still stands. The promise, the covenant that God made with us. God wants a people, chosen, the church, that trusts. A people who will leave their familiar surroundings, their gods, their culture, or traditions, or formal ways of doing things, and go forth. The word promise in medieval Latin is promissa, which means exactly that. To send forth, to go, to be sent. And God calls us to go out in obedience to a fresh place in order to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. We are blessed to be a blessing. And blessing comes with it. Trust and obedience. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, Genesis 12:4. On this one verse, I think, hangs, is one of the hangers of the whole salvation history of Israel and the Church of Jesus Christ. Its very nature is trust and obedience. God does not reveal himself to the merely curious, but to the obedient and to the trusting. We cannot, I don't think, really discern accurately God's will unless we are obedient, unless we trust. Interesting thing, at our Advent study on Wednesday, those two words came up actually, trust and obedience. And by the way, obedience is a loaded word in 2019. And this is faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith is the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And it is not faith without proof. It is obedience without reservation. And the world says, "Show me and I'll believe." But Christ says, "Believe in me and I will show you. I will show you what I have promised my people from the beginning. I promise to help and protect you, to love you, to accept you, and to forgive you. And in today's text from Isaiah, God continues his promise, making ways. Look, he says, look, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. And God is saying this to the Israelites in spite of their continual rejection, their disobedience and idolatry. But God wants to give them hope. Who's familiar with Eugene Peterson? Well-known writer. Presbyterian minister, actually. On his deathbed, Eugene Peterson's son, Lief, said at the funeral that his dad had only one sermon. That he had fooled everybody for 29 years of pastoral ministry, that for all his books, he only had one message. And it was a secret Lief said his dad had let him in on early in life. It was a message that Lief said his dad had whispered to him in his heart for 50 years. Words he had said as he snuck into his room to say over him as he slept as a child. God loves you. God is on your side. And he is coming after you. Because God is relentless. And God continues to watch over us, continues to stretch out his hand, saying, remember me. I am the Lord. That is my name. And God wants to make a new heart in us, to create a new space, a new heaven, and a new earth, so that we will live for his purpose and be eager to receive his love. God wants to connect to us. He wants to put Hebrews 8:10, laws in our minds and writes them on our heart. And this is the same promise that is echoed in Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. God wants to perform spiritual surgery on his people. God is the ultimate cardiologist. He wants to give us a heart transplant. The power of the Holy Spirit in us, waiting for release so that we can be glad and rejoice forever in God's creation. God wants our Jerusalem hearts filled with gladness, for we are a source of joy to the Lord. God delights in us. Isn't that wonderful? God delights in us, asking only that we trust and obey his purposes, plans, and vision for the kingdom revealed in Scripture. And God's vision is the coming of the Messiah. And Isaiah, they say, prophesied of the one to come, the one who would be a sign to all nations. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 7:13. The promise of a deliverer, of a savior, is what the church celebrates every year around this time. And now, as we begin to move into Advent, it's time to ready our hearts to receive Christ and to allow the Spirit to work in us so that we are ready to resume again our relationship with Christ. A relationship that is powerful, awesome, eternal, redeemable, and exciting. We are hardwired for this relationship. If you go back to Genesis, we had the Holy Spirit breathed into us from the beginning. We are designed for a deep connection with the one who calls us, who knows us by name, and who desires only to live in and through us. And our surrender requires only, yes, Lord, take me. I am so ready. It may be faint. It may be a whisper. It may be a slight flutter in our hearts. The yes declared at our baptism, repeated when we eat his body and drink his blood at our Eucharist. Kneeling at this altar or standing with your hands like this is an act of surrender, of trust and obedience. And it is a holy moment when the promise of a new heaven and a new earth are implanted again. And this is a moment when the wolf and the lamb will feed together. No one will be hurt or destroyed on the holy mountain. And it is that yes to Jesus that prepares us for the reign of Christ, the sovereignty of his majesty and might that wipes away guilt, anger, doubts, fears, worries, anxieties, failures, or hesitation. Does anybody have any of those seven? Paul writes, "We consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." As disciples of Christ, we believe that there is nothing or no one that is more important than a life lived in Christ. And Isaiah says, no longer will babies die when only a few days old. And apparently, if you live to 100, it's a good thing. If you die before, thinking 100, holy moly. God's ways are not my ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. But I believe that God works in mysterious ways in the small and in the medium and in the large. And in ways that you and I may never understand. And that's the mystery. And I trust in the promises that God will be with me until the end of the age. Because God is a promise keeper, not a promise breaker. God is waiting to hear the faintest response to his call to be the people of God, shaped, tested, and watched over by him. The covenant community. We are souls with skin on. Called to go forth in trust and obedience, to be hands and feet, to shine for the whole world to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. We may be the only Bible people ever see. And we wait now for the coming of a baby whose birth changes the world. We wait now for the coming of the promised Messiah in whose name we live and breathe and have our being. We wait now for the coming of the promised Messiah. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us pray. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. With this serenity, I shall live one day at a time, enjoy one moment at a time, accept hardships as the pathway to peace, take as Christ did this imperfect world as it is, and not as I would have it be, trusting that God will make all things right if I surrender to his will. So shall I be reasonably happy in this world and supremely happy with God in the next. Amen.